Tonight's subject, are there any answers to an event like the shooting of Senator Kennedy? Tonight's guest, the Reverend Joseph L. Gibson of the Nash Memorial United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call's national phone number, area code 212-749-3311. Night Call's host in New York City is Del Shields.
Hello again.
Hello.
This is Del Shields here. What's it all about? John Fitzgerald Kennedy, killed by an assassin's bullet. Martin Luther King, killed by an assassin's bullet. Robert F. Kennedy, almost killed, and in an extremely critical condition from a would-be assassin's bullet. What's it all about? Are we a violent, purposeless people, pursuing only our own thing and devil take the hindmost? Does the church have any answers? To poverty, to purpose, to peace in our streets and our country. Joe Gibson is pastor of the Nash Memorial United Methodist Church in the nation's capital. He's our guest for this extra special edition of Night Call, focusing on some of the basic questions once again raised in our minds because of the senseless shooting of Senator Robert Kennedy. Mr. Gibson, glad to have you with us.
Thank you. I think the first thing we need to do is to focus in on what really has happened to us as a nation. We discover that we have given up the priorities which made the nation what it started out to be. That after getting the documents written, and so many people give so much attention to legislation, and what has happened to so many of us is that we have put our stock in legislation and not in what really is required to change a nation. Now, the direction at the beginning of this nation with slaves and racial hatred and racial prejudice and racial discrimination has been supported by all of our five basic institutions. The church has led the way in maintaining the status quo. And every time a churchman or a statesman would rock the boat or lean too far to the left, lean too far towards revolutionary change, the church has taken its place alongside of the state, alongside of the schools, alongside of those who would support our economic system the way it is, and besides, of course, the family, to maintain things as they are. We have discovered that in the nation, and in our nation where we have grown so rapidly from a small, struggling nation to the world power, and we've had thrust upon our shoulders the leadership of the whole world, and now we find ourselves unable to develop any sincere understanding of one another. Barriers erected in every corner. Rich unable to speak to poor, unable to understand their problems. Churchmen unable to speak to churchmen of different faiths and different thoughts. The church has many answers, and maybe that's the beginning of our problem.
Mr. Gibson, just recently, a few weeks ago, there was a survey that was conducted among many people here in this country, and the question posed to them was whether or not the church should take more of an active stand in the world of civil rights. And to many people's surprise, there were many people who felt that the church should not become involved. How do you feel about that?
I think that that's the answer I would expect from many people, to say that the church should not get involved. Because their understanding of the church is to support the things as they are. My understanding of why Jesus became the leader that he did was because he challenged the status quo situation of the church of his day. And the very revolutionary aspect of the words that he said, that man was not created for laws, but rather laws for men. And so often, this stands right at the heart of what I see about us. I think the church is not can it or must it. The church is not the church that does not take the lead in proclaiming the oneness of mankind, the unity of the human spirit, and the fact that a man is a man because he is made in the image of God, and not because of any achievement he has made, nor because of any wealth he has attained, nor are any other kinds of superficial things, but that this is the foundation of the Christian concept of creation, that God made man, and therefore no one can take from another man that which is given him. So from a theological point of view first, the church must say that men are men are men. Then secondly, the church must militate against anything that would hamper or hinder a man from being that man. So that I see the church's role in two aspects. One, to change anything in society that dehumanizes a man. Now notice, anything in the society that would go with those five basic institutions I was talking about, that the church must say that mankind is first, and that if it is true that Christ came into the world, as Christians would say, to save sinners, then we can't ever find anyone above sin, and therefore all people are to be recipients of the grace that the church has to dispense, whether they become members or not. And so that I see the church's role as being directed towards people. And any program that is money-oriented or big business-oriented or something other than people-oriented needs to be militated against from the very heart of the church.
You mentioned that the church must begin to take the lead. I don't know if it was the late Dr. King who made the statement, but I kind of think it was him who said that the most segregated society in America was the American church on Sunday morning. Now, if this is so, is it not possible that the church would have to do some changing from within?
I think without making too many statements about the church, I can say that one of the biggest struggles that we're having in the church today is this struggle to be free from the history of who we are and the tradition of how we're supposed to act and the way things have been. In the Roman Catholic Church, everyone is aware of the fact of the tremendous changes brought about by the leadership of Pope John and now Pope Paul. And we can see tremendous insights being distributed to Catholics. In the Methodist Church, just recently at Dallas, there were tremendous strides being taken to bring about an understanding of the church's role in the society. And in every major denomination where blacks have been a minority, there has been a black caucus to think through what it means to be a black man in a predominantly white church and what it must say to people who are oppressed, and who must lead in the speaking out against oppression. I would accuse, if I could be an accuser, I would accuse blacks of having complained about a sickness, and having complained about a hurt, and having complained about the ills of a society. But I would have accused them of complaining without telling the doctor, whomever that might be, where the pain is, and in directing the finger of the doctor to the pained part of the body. You know, you can't go to a doctor and say, "Doctor, I hurt," and have him find the illness. You have to be able to tell him in what location that hurt comes. Now, he uses his knowledge to help put aside that pain by finding the root cause of it. In our society, we have cried, "We need help." For the first time, I think, under the leadership of Dr. King, we're beginning to say, "We hurt, and we hurt in this particular spot. Let's solve it." Now, I don't think that the doctor didn't know it hurt there, but I think now he can't hide from it.
Reverend Gibson, can you hold for just a moment? We'd like to invite our listeners to participate in our conversation tonight. And to our listeners of Night Call, we still have no way for you to call collect without tying up switchboards across the country. However, we can make arrangements to pay you back for your call, and we will. Our number again in New York, and you may call us direct, is area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. This is the special edition of Night Call this evening, and our guest in Washington, D.C. is Reverend Joe Gibson, pastor of the Nash Memorial United Methodist Church. Reverend Gibson, today's unfortunate and very tragic development concerning Senator Kennedy, throughout the country, the question that has been raised by most people is why? In its most basic terms, what can we say to the average person? What is the reason behind this? This succession of people who are being mowed down by an assassin, and the fact that it seems that those who are standing up for any kind of justice in this country are becoming the victims of people who no longer are concerned about life.
The question why is always asked at a time like this, and so often we attempt to give simplistic answers as to why. I guess I'll add my voice to those who would give a simplistic answer. And mine would be that we have always been a violent nation. That we took this land as a violent act, as an act of violence against the Indian, who had been willing in some instances to talk and to work and to teach us how to survive in his land, only to have him shoved onto a reservation in a kind of humiliating and degrading situation that could exist. And that from the very beginning of our nation, we have tolerated acts of violence against the enemy. And whoever the enemy was, it was acceptable to destroy him. And part of the heart is here, that we have been taught to love the friend and to hate the enemy, setting up a dualistic kind of world where today all you must do is trigger the word communism and a great segment of our society turns all of its hatred towards it. I think that to the answer to the question why, we must be aware that we think violently. Dr. Martin Luther King came to this realization in his own life that you cannot say, I am a nonviolent person if I have very close to my body a revolver to protect myself with. That part of rooting and taking out and exercising oneself is to remove the acts of violence from within himself. And I think part of this is caught up in all of us. That when a person doesn't agree with us, we can say with a sleight of hand, remove him. And we say that as though this is the normal American way to accomplish change. So my response to the why is that we have been taught, and we are victims of our own teaching.
We're going to welcome a listener who is a night call listener from radio station WAMO in Washington, D.C. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Thank you. My name is the only loving begotten Son of God, the first and the last. I came to save the world. I did not come to destroy the world. But the important thing, what I would like to say, is to the people here in the District of Columbia, not only here in the District of Columbia, but all over the world, I'm tired, I'm weak, and I'm worn.
Thank you, sir. This is Night Call. Reverend Gibson, we're going to depart momentarily for station identification, and then we'll be coming right back. This is the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Joe Gibson after station identification. Black is a red-blooded American color. The black showed the color of his blood in places like Vietnam and Korea and every other all-American battleground since the Revolution. Every time his country calls for help, he hears. But we don't seem to hear him when he calls. If black and white would listen with their hearts, they could hear each other. That's what Night Call is all about. It lets people air their views man to man, color to color, live from phones anywhere in the country. A syringe full of junk bites into black and white skin with the same ruining surge, and a black mother cries over her child just like a white one does. The problems are the same. The characters just have different colors. Night Call's person-to-person nationwide radio hookup lets the black and the white tell it like it is. This is Night Call. Speak for yourself by calling 212-749-3311. Our subject tonight, what's it all about? Our guest, Joe Gibson. Our host, Del Shields.
Back with Night Call here in New York, and as was stated, our guest is Joe Gibson, who is pastor of the Nash Memorial United Methodist Church. Reverend Gibson, my question at this point is the fact that, first I'd like to give the phone number once again in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. Now, if you'd like to call collect, you may do so, and we'll be more than happy to make arrangements to pay you back for your call. Reverend Gibson, the question of why, as you said, cannot be answered very, very simply. And yet, I think most Americans are under the affirmation that America has been a violent country. But yet, there seems to be a reluctancy on most persons' part to actually believe this or to accept this. Is this part of our Christian Judeo thinking?
I wish I could even get our president to accept the fact that violence is a sickness, and that you can't teach a boy to take a rifle and learn to kill and go away and kill under executive order and then return to his homeland and not be willing to kill for the very things that he defended in someone else's land. And that we have to begin understanding that this sickness goes so deeply into our very hearts that we can't even accept the fact that we are a racist nation, let alone a sick, violent nation. How long has the American white man accepted the acts of terror and violence of the Ku Klux Klan against blacks in the Southland? And for the biggest part, all you could hear was how horrible, but no one ever moved to do anything about it. How long have we accepted the violence of the acts of organized crime without really feeling like we had to move against it? And how rapidly we are willing to turn to simplistic answers of law and order, support your local police type approaches, instead of saying, let's look behind the occupational force, which is a police force and a white police force in a black ghetto, and ask the question, why is the police force totally white? Why doesn't it represent the kind of community wherein we live? Why do policemen have to carry a gun? You know, this doesn't happen in every place in the world. And why is he such an enemy of the people rather than a friend and a helper? And I think part of these things are part of the sickness that I refer to.
Let's welcome another caller, Reverend Gibson.
Okay.
We'll go to Memphis, Tennessee, radio station WDIA, Reverend Mickens, who is standing by. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Reverend Gibson?
Yes.
This is Reverend Mickens in Memphis. And I feel like in this nation in which we live, to see the tragedies that are happening, I feel like if the ministers in all churches would take a stand, to teach more love, that would help break down a lot of racial barriers. It's kind of bad to teach one thing and practice another. I believe it has to be a living example of what we teach and preach amongst the white as well as the colored minister.
Well, you have no fight with me on the score that we must practice what we preach. I think, however, we have to begin preaching a kind of gospel that cuts right at the heart,
right,
of hatred and bigotry and violence. For instance, very few ministers of Negro heritage, I like to use the term black ministers, but I reserve that term for men who have accepted their blackness as a good gift from God, but very few are willing to stand up and say, I am a black man and my heritage calls me to associate with the problems of the black man, and to speak for him and with him and to an oppressive white society. And I think that part of our responsibility as black ministers is to stand and say clearly to our white brothers in love that this must not continue. It cannot continue. It will not continue, because a nation divided against itself cannot stand.
Yeah, and another thing, Reverend Gibson, amongst all the ministers, if the white minister will take us, and I know in some of the congregation will be opposed to it, but the truth is the only thing that's going to win. And at the same time, I think a minister should be able to stand some embarrassment, to tell the truth, to bring all people together in the love of Christ, and let each individual know that all brothers in Christ are the same. Out of one blood, God created all nations.
Okay, I accept that, but you also have to realize, and I realize it, that the church supports the capitalistic system which we have, and when a white minister stands up in his congregation, then he has to be willing to accept an economic change. And
right.
For one fortunate thing, I have never had a Negro member who contributed so much on Sunday morning that if he stopped contributing, my church fell apart. So I don't really understand the same kind of problem from these big contributors as my white brethren so often fear.
Reverend Mickens, we want to thank you for calling. We have some other calls.
Okay.
Thank you very much, okay. Sir. We'll take a call this time from Jacksonville, Florida. Mr. Calhoun, I believe it is, who is listening to Night Call over radio station WRHC. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Thank you. I'd just like to say that in our nation that we have a great problem. We passed a very bad act when we passed the 64 Civil Rights Act. I am a Negro, and I think that our problem is not changing the system, but it is changing the people. This is our problem. Everybody thinks that we should try to change the system, and it's not really the system that is bad. It's the people's mind, and this is where we should work and try to get everything together and to work as one in this great nation of ours, the United States. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
My response to him would be this, Dale, that we don't want to call the system separate from the people who make it up, and that part of what I am saying when I say change the system is to say that we must militate against the parts of our system that keep us separated. For instance, a white ring around a black city, that kind of setup automatically leads us towards the lack of communication. And that lack of communication sets up a kind of circumstance where we don't know each other. Therefore, we can't resolve the problem.
Our telephone number in New York is area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311 if you'd like to converse on Night Call. We'll take a call this time from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Mr. Henley. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Yes, Reverend Gibson, I've been interested in many of your comments this evening, and I'm wondering how much of the frustration and the violence we find in our society today might be a direct result of the lack of the Americans to see the American dream or to realize it. The American dream where men are respected for what they are and they are able to communicate with one another and their values are meaningful and their institutions are meaningful to them, and the system then doesn't become something to fight.
I would say that a goodly amount of the frustration comes from this lack of realization. If you would look for a moment, not now at blacks, but look at young whites who are in colleges and universities who have studied the system now and understand what it is that they would like to see, are so frustrated that they're having discovered something, they can't live in it. And many have turned to being hippies and drugs and all the kinds of ways of protest. Young girls who don't know their fathers because the father is so busy earning a living for them. And they have missed this most important basic relationship. And young men who are the children of women who haven't known their fathers, therefore have a more impoverished relationship. I think that you see the whole of the American dream was that a man could have enough income to live and the kind of relationship that fulfilled his life and the kind of society in which he could respect and be respected of others. And I think you're right, we have missed the dream. One, I think because we have not wanted equality. We have wanted equality for others, but a little bit more than equality for myself.
Could it be then that the American dream needs a redefinition?
Yes, I say very
definitely. Is that what's going on now, perhaps?
I think that is the whole heart, that people ask me, well, what is it that you want? What do you want to change our society to? And I say, when I was a child, I looked at the Constitution, for instance, and the Bill of Rights, and I thought that was pretty great. And I'm still willing to accept that. But we haven't got it yet.
Right.
Thank you for calling, sir. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. Our guest in Washington, D.C. is Reverend Joe Gibson, pastor of the Nash Memorial United Methodist Church. And if you'd like to converse, and we welcome your comments and your ideas by calling area code 212-749-3311. Now, as we've said earlier, and we will continue saying to you right along, that we have, as yet, not been able to determine a way in which we can accept your collect calls without tying up switchboards across the country. But we can make arrangements to pay you back for your call. And if you'd like to call collect, we'll be more than happy to... call us direct, rather. We'll be more than happy to refund the cost of your call. Our telephone number again, area code 212-749-3311. We have a caller who is listening tonight call over radio station WKBW in Buffalo, New York. Welcome to Night Call, Mr. Burdick.
Hello. This is Arden F. Burdick, Jr. in Buffalo, New York. I'm 17, and I've been listening to your program, and it's not too clear, but I, you know, cleared out the static as good as I could.
Thank you.
And about President Kennedy dying, well, it's the same idea, the same, well, President Kennedy and Senator Kennedy, they both have the same ideas, the same feelings, and the same reactions toward everything that goes on in this country. And if they feel that way, they feel that this country should be ahead, that this country should go to the top, this country should be the best in the whole world, then I feel that President Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, should live. That man deserves to live. He does not deserve to die, he deserves to live.
Now, I would agree with you, and the kind of thing I'd like to ask you is, if he does not live, would he not need men like you and I to live for the same kinds of things which he tried to make possible?
Well, it's hard to decide that it has to be me to take his place. He has the experience, the knowledge, and the understanding of everything, the economic world, the economic banks, every industry, and everything he takes into sight, into view, everything that he needs, everything in this whole world depends on that man. Because no other country in this United States, no other country in this world is going to stop our country. Our country is going to get ahead. And I promise you that I am going to do my duty as an American citizen of the United States of America to do my duty and pray for that man so that man will live. That man deserves to live. He doesn't deserve to die.
Yes, and like that man deserves to live, so do all men deserve the right to live.
This country is created equal. This country was created on the basis of the United States Constitution, and this country should not be stopped by people who are ignorant, people who do not understand what this country stands for, people who think that they know it all, people who think that sex, that drinking, that smoking is involved in everything, that they feel that is their life. Well, let it be their life. That is not mine. I was put on this earth to put myself ahead, to put my country ahead, and to make and show Russia, Jerusalem, and Africa that the United States of America is the best and the best in the whole world. And nobody in this whole world is going to stop me. I'm going to prove it, and I'm going to prove it darn good.
Joe, we want to thank you.
Senator Kennedy lives.
Joe, we want to thank you very much. We have some other calls that we'd like to get on.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling.
Let me respond
this
to
is,
that for just a second.
Reverend Gibson, if you'll hold, we're going to break for station identification, and we'll be coming right back. This is the Night Call Network in New York.
Forum to speak for yourself. If we don't start talking to each other, we'll end up shouting. And there's no telling where we'll wind up after that. Night Call, every weeknight on this station. This is Night Call. Speak for yourself by calling 212-749-3311. Our subject tonight, what's it all about? Our guest, Joe Gibson. Our host, Del Shields.
Back in New York, this is Night Call with Del Shields, our guest, Reverend Joe Gibson, pastor of the Nash Memorial United Methodist Church. And we would like to remind our listeners that tomorrow night, our guest will be Stokely Carmichael. Mr. Carmichael will be our guest tomorrow night on Night Call. Reverend Gibson, you wanted to respond to the 17-year-old Night Call listener.
Yes, I have a feeling that there are many people around the country his age who feel precisely this way. And I would like to caution particularly our young blacks that this man who has given his whole dedication of his life towards bringing about the kinds of changes which will make this the kind of nation we want it to be, needs to have the kind of appreciation and admiration that causes us to study these things and to prepare ourselves to take the mantle of leadership, whether that means in our gang on the street or in our church or in our civic association, that we can begin talking honestly and clearly and frankly, that we can help bring about the kinds of changes that are really necessary here. And I wanted to say that because so many people feel that to put America first somehow means that we have to be opposed to Russia or opposed to Africa or opposed to someone else. And I think to put America first may mean to turn inside, to give up our selfishness, to give up sometimes even that which we call our patriotism, to look for a one world, to look for a different approach to how we deal with other people, whether they are non-Americans or Americans of different color.
Reverend Gibson, our next call is from Mr. Ruby, who's listening to Night Call over KVOW in Seattle, Washington. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Good evening. I hope you won't mind if I depart a little bit from the previous conversation. There's been a lot of discussion out here in the western states over the last several months, several years almost, over the whole subject of gun control laws. I think that now that tonight, after listening for a little while to some of the local talk shows, which are pretty good and catch a fair sampling of public opinion, there seems to be a real clash between the hunters and riflemen and people who feel strongly about being able to own guns, and those who are finally just fed up to their ears with the firearm-caused violence. Now, we can go into a lot of discussions about the fact that firearms don't cause violence, and I'll agree with that 100%. I agree that this whole concept of frustrations and whatnot is really a real heart cause of it. But I mean the thing that comes out at the end. I know that a lot of people are sending telegrams to Congress to pass the Senate version of the Safe Streets and Crime Control Bill, because they think, I think mistakenly, that there is a gun control section in it. The section that's in there,
very weak,
is just for handguns.
That's right.
And it's very poor. And I'm afraid that if Congress, they've already cleared this thing for vote tomorrow, if they get panicked into voting for this thing, that we're going to inherit a real Pandora's box, because it's got a section in it that really restricts the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court.
Not only restricts it, changes it.
Excuse me?
Not only restricts it, it changes it very drastically.
I don't really think the that what is happening is anything except a slap in the face of an independent judiciary. And I think it's, to a large extent, just an attempt by a lot of people who don't really understand what civil liberties are all about, don't really understand the process of law enforcement. My dad was an FBI agent for a long time. I talk to him about these sort of things quite frequently, and I think that he and every other law enforcement officer I've ever heard speak has said that the Miranda decisions and none of these have really been the tremendous body blows to law enforcement the way Senator Stennis and some of these people would like to have you believe. Instead, to a large extent, they may have even aided law enforcement because, well, for various reasons.
Well, Mr. Ruby...
The point is that this bill
is not a
gun control bill, and they're going to rush something through that will permit wiretapping and destroy, really slap the Supreme Court and, you know, really destroy a lot of the things that we've been building towards these last few years. And I'm really worried that people should communicate with their congressman tonight to let them know that we can't be panicked into a gun
getting
control,
a lousy law.
Gun control bill.
Right.
Mr. Ruby, we received a report that Senator Kennedy lost the primary in Oregon because of his support of the gun bill.
I can't buy that. I have quite a few friends in Oregon who are McCarthy supporters. It's very difficult. Myself, I am one of the very few Humphrey supporters in Washington. The McCarthy people, as you might imagine, are very strong in Seattle. We just had our county convention last Saturday. Those of us who were Humphrey delegates were in a minority, a small minority. The McCarthy people were very well organized. These same people went down to Oregon and worked very hard. And I feel that to a large extent, the victory in Oregon for McCarthy was due to this strong organization and the lack of organization by the Kennedy people. Also, a great deal of money was poured into the Oregon one, from what I've been able to see.
So Senator Kennedy's support of the gun bill, you feel, did not influence the voters at all?
It may have influenced some voters, but I don't think it influenced enough to really make any difference.
Now, what are you suggesting now in terms of the bill that is about to be voted on tomorrow?
I would suggest that every person should wire a night letter. Don't use a public opinion message because those things take 2 days to get there. Send a night letter to their congressman and say, look, we don't want this pseudo phony gun bill. We want a strong gun bill, and we don't want the Supreme Court hamstrung, and we don't want the independent judiciary slapped at, and we don't want this wiretapping business that's in that Senate bill.
Yeah, I think that in the rush and the moment of anguish now, we can end up with a Pandora's box, just as you said.
Yes, I'm really worried about this.
This bill is not a good bill at all.
It's a very bad bill.
And in fact, the truth of the matter is that the National Riflemen's Association has produced such a strong lobby that the Senate was going to give us any kind of bill just to get a gun control bill on the books. But attached to that was such a horrible denial of civil liberties that would be just twisting backwards the steps we had made.
There's no question about that. There's no question about that.
Mr. Ruby, we're going to allow some of the other listeners to comment, if you don't mind. We
are
kind of backed up with calls.
Very good. Be glad to.
Right. We thank you for calling, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. This is NyCall in New York. Our telephone number is area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212 in New York, 749-3311. Now, if you'd like to call, we'll be more than happy to refund you the cost of your call, if you'd like to. That's 212-749-3311. Welcome a call from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Mr. Allman, who is listening tonight, call over radio station WAAA. Welcome, sir.
Hello.
This is Night Call.
I'd just like to make the point, for instance, going back to what the man said about the American dream. I must think that in our evaluation of what is wrong, or what is right or wrong with American society today, that we must take into account the psychological effects of the history of the United States on the people. For instance, the United States is a conglomeration, as you know, the melting pot theory of all types of minority groups. And since 1776, we have risen astronomically in our history into a position of world power. Now, from just a few years ago, Americans always had in front of them that if they didn't particularly agree with things the way they were going at one particular place, there was always the, end quote, the frontier to the west. In other words, we always had something else to go to. We could take up roots and move somewhere else, form our own society there. Also, we must realize that we were in the shadow of foreign powers. Europe was the center of the world then. The United States was not the major power. was not the most influential power in the world. But we have risen so fast, militarily, economically, socially. We didn't have a chance to look inside our society back then. But now we have risen from a rural society to predominantly urban society, which is the root of our problems now. We haven't had time to adjust to it because it's been so rapid. Our foreign affairs have progressed to the point where we are now the power in the world today. We control the planet. This astronomical increase in urban population combined with this military supremacy over the rest of the world has served to divert our attention from other affairs into we now have time to look inside our own society for the first time in our history. And this is what perhaps is wrong with American society. We have never had the opportunity before. Our attention has been had to be diverted in other areas. Now, we realize that we were operating in the shadow of other influences. These influences aren't there anymore. What is motivating American society? That is what people are asking themselves now. We first now, for the first time, have the opportunity to scrutinize our society and see what is actually wrong with it. And we're getting some interesting answers.
And most of us don't like the kind of answers we're getting, and it's causing a disturbing kind of interreaction. And to take your conclusions one step further, not only do we have to ask the question, what is motivating America, but once we discover what it is, we have to be willing to change it, to work towards making fulfillment of human personality a higher priority in our thinking, and to begin thinking about what are the things to which we give our priority. For instance, we can talk about self-determination of nations, and we can support to the tune of 30 and 40 billions a year a struggling southeastern nation. At the same time, when a majority of blacks are being controlled by a South African government, which we support through our monetary system, and we can support a Franco, and we can support various dictatorships around the world and to our left and to our right. And what has happened to us is that we have become reactionary instead of revolutionary. We have begun status quo type thinking instead of moving for people and giving them the kinds of opportunities to develop themselves as they would choose to.
I fully agree with you, and I also think that, carrying it just a bit further, that this insecurity that is arising in the American population today needs some type of buffer plate. That, in other words, we've had this frontier for so long, this American dream, that what's going to replace it? What's going to unite the people again to get them moving in one common direction instead of moving against each other? What can we come up with?
Maybe the dream of Dr. King could be that which would give us our new motivation. Maybe the resurrection city concept, where those of us who are more affluent can side with the poor and work towards eliminating rat-infested ghettos and slum conditions and poverty and the lack of nutrition for a newborn and for mothers carrying children, so that we can begin to put into effect the things we have learned in the tremendous upsurge of knowledge in the behavioral sciences, like we have utilized the sciences, technological advancements we have made.
Reverend Gibson and Mr. Almond, we're going to welcome some more calls right after station break. Thank you so much for calling, sir.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest Joe Gibson after station identification. In our city and state and all across the United States, people are talking about trouble, black and white trouble. Some call it racial tension or see poverty as the real problem, or say law and order has given way to anarchy in our streets. Most people agree, at least, that there is a crisis, and we are a people with many unanswered questions. This station believes you deserve to ask your own questions and get some answers, or at least opinions, from people who should know what they're talking about. So we bring you Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show where you ask your questions and express your opinions to leaders such as John Lindsay, Ralph Abernathy, John Gardner, Stokely Carmichael, and Sergeant Shriver. Night Call, the new nationwide radio forum on important issues facing you and the rest of the nation. Night Call, each weeknight. This is Night Call. Speak for yourself by calling 212-749-3311. Our subject tonight, what's it all about? Our guest, Joe Gibson. Our host, Del Shields.
This is Night Call again, and this is Del Shields in New York, and a reminder to our Night Call listeners that tomorrow night our guest will be Stokely Carmichael. Reverend Gibson, I'd like to pose a question to you. We do have a number of people who are standing by, and I'd like to remind the listeners once again of our telephone number in New York, area code 212-749-3311, and we welcome your comments and your ideas. We want you to talk. Area code 212-749-3311. And if you're calling long distance, we'll be more than happy to pay you for your call. One of the pressing questions today here in New York was the fact that among many black people was the feeling that Senator Kennedy has long been one of their champions. And we heard some comments today from some of the people who stated that we have lost Martin Luther King, we have now lost Senator Kennedy. Do you feel, Reverend Gibson, that there will be any effect on the black communities throughout America in light of the events that took place today?
My prayer is that we can say to the black community that to react the same way that the attempted assassin has acted would be to support his concept of way things ought to be controlled. I am afraid of the reaction because I know of the temperament and the tension that is present among young blacks in our city, that having felt and feeling that the society has passed them by or is willing to pass them by, that the society is willing to ignore them and us, I fear the possibility of reprisal unless people like myself and like this station can reach and get to people, to get to the leaders of our more militant groups, and to speak with people calmly and to say that we must change from having violent reactions to violent acts, and we must begin to find a new way to react. And I would call that a reaction of a revolutionary accomplishment, and not senseless violence for the sake of senseless violence.
We're going to welcome some more calls, this time from South Bend, Indiana, a Night Call listener, Mr. Malone, who's listening to Night Call over radio station WSBT. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Hello, Reverend?
Yes.
I want to compliment you for your nice speech. And I just wanted to say that I'm a colored man. I live in South Bend. I have a nice home. And I wait for my living. And I have been here 20 years. I have a pretty nice home, about a $12,000 home. I have a pretty lawn. And every day on the open line, I'm always condemned. But yet still, it don't upset me. Don't upset me at all, because I live in a white community. And they're very nice. There's six colored families and four white families.
Who condemned you, sir?
A very nice time here.
Mr. Malone? Mr. Malone?
Yes, sir.
You asked, you stated that you are condemned. Who condemns you?
Oh, well, this is a little station comes here on our South Bend open line every day.
One of the radio stations.
That radio station is 22.
Okay.
And so, anyway, I want to compliment you. You answered all of my questions when I was just listening on the telephone is what I wanted to know. But I would just want to ask you one question. It's about this gentleman was on before you come on. The
yes.
gentleman was on this same line before you came on.
The former governor of Maryland.
Governor Mellon. I think he's one of the nicest men, and I think that's the man should have, if Kennedy don't live, I think we should try to get him to be our president of the United States.
Thank you, sir, for calling.
That's the reason I call. I wish that the whole United States, everybody that's interested in people, in brotherly love, and in Christianity. Another thing I want to ask you, do you think the churches now is playing too much politics?
Well, you know, I used to think that the churches could exist without being in politics.
That's what I always thought in my life, too.
But I cannot believe that anymore.
I can't believe it. My father was a Baptist preacher and a good one.
I believe that the churches must assume its political power and utilize it to move the country in the right direction. How can we, with 11 million United Methodists, how can we sit still and not speak to America about the issues that train and develop all of our lives? I think the church must use its political power in the way that it uses its economic power, in the way that it uses its moral power, to bring about a kind of change which would be representative of a Christian country.
You think it takes a prayer?
I think it takes prayer. I think it takes hard work. I can't see why churches do not instruct or at least give strong direction to all of its people getting involved in local politics at the local level and electing the right people to city council, to state governments, and to the Congress.
Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Somebody else, you answered my question.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Our telephone number in New York is area code 212-749-3311. That's 749-3311. From Lorain, Ohio, radio station WERE, Miss Bradley is listening, and we'll welcome her. Welcome to Night Call.
Thank you. I have just a very brief comment to make regarding everything that's been said so far and the events of today so far. I think what everybody has to do right now is to watch and pray and hope for the best. It's going to take a lot of work from everybody, but we can't let the tragedies that we've suffered in the past years, in this decade, be exact, to go unnoticed and forgotten. What we need to do most of all is to forget our personal feelings and to start thinking of other people again and taking the time to care for other people. And if we just each do our own part in a little way, I'm sure that we'll be able to carry on what Senator Kennedy has been suffering for.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Hilliard, who is listening to Night Call from radio station WERE in Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Good morning.
Mrs. Hilliard, forgive me.
Reverend, I have two questions for you, and I will listen to your comments on the radio. Would you compare the United States with the Old Testament Israelites, and is it because of our godlessness in the United States that we are on the going downhill?
Okay, that's the first one.
Would you repeat the question again,
please? I understood her.
Oh, I see.
I don't like to make those kind of comparisons, but I will say one thing, that the Old Testament Israelite nation accepted its role as the chosen people of God, and having accepted their election by God, they forgot the responsibility that was also placed with it. And that was, not only had God chosen them, but he had chosen them to be a light to the nation. And I think that, in one sense, we have, in America, been chosen by God the same way. And if she's saying that we're being punished, I would say that I don't believe in that kind of God, but I do believe that because we have not been a light to the nation, we find ourselves going downhill. And I don't want to make it a kind of cause and effect kind of relationship, but that had we followed the concepts which would bring about brotherly understanding one of the other and respect for human dignity, our nation would not have the kind of turmoil that's present had we even accepted justice as a basis, not even thinking of that which goes beyond justice. Then we might have survived
without the kind of turmoil that undoubtedly this nation is headed toward.
Well, don't you think that we still have time to get back to worshiping God instead of our material goods?
Yes, I feel that we have time, and that's why I still proclaim the gospel. But I think there's something else that needs to be said. Americans have gone a long way away from God.
Right.
And having gone so far, those of us who worship God cannot take it very lightly that we are called to witness not only in church at 11 o'clock,
right,
but we're called to be ultimate Christians today, or as Malcolm Boyd puts it, the underground church,
mm-hmm,
subverting everything to the Christian ideal, subverting everything to the idea of the soul force, or the nonviolent love, the nonviolent motion to bring people together. We have to do things that only a Christian could do.
Mrs. Hillian,
yes,
we want to thank you for calling. Our time is running out.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good night. Reverend Gibson?
Yes.
We want to thank you for being with us tonight on this special night call broadcast.
My pleasure, Dale.
We certainly hope that many of the statements that you made tonight and many of the references to our purpose here in America and perhaps the American dream will somehow not completely be disseminated over the next 24 hours.
Well, my prayers are with the Kennedy family. I certainly feel like so many other people around the country that the tragedy that's befallen that family has certainly been enough, and may God give them the courage to withstand this additional tragedy.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being with us. Our guest tonight on Night Call has been Reverend Joe Gibson, pastor of the Nash Memorial United Baptist Church. Tomorrow, our guest will be Stokely Carmichael. This is Del Shields. Thank you, and good night and peace.
Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station. Stokely Carmichael of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Most white Americans say his calls for black power have caused violence in our streets. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, and the National Urban Coalition.